triune God who calls each one of us beloved. Amen. Please be seated. Well, my husband, Jeff, is an addiction counselor at Hazelden, which is a treatment center for addicts and alcoholics up in Center City. And Jeff himself is a sober alcoholic. He's been in recovery for about 30 years, give or take. And he did give me permission to share that with you, right? Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble when I got home, I guess. Anyway, he has told me many stories about what it's like to work among alcoholics and addicts. And one of the things that he and every other counselor at Hazelden hears over and over again is some version of the following refrain from alcoholics. I have lost my job. My family has pretty much given up on me. I have lost my house. In fact, I am living under a bridge. But I can quit anytime I want. You know, addiction, alcoholism, is called a disease of the mind. It's called a disease of the mind because the further on one progresses in alcoholism, the less one is able to see the depth of the problem. And so treatment is all about moving alcoholics and providing every possibility for them to move from what they call pre-contemplation to contemplation, which essentially just means the capacity to consider that they can no longer control their drinking. And that's, in fact, step one of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know how many of you are familiar with various 12-step programs, but step one says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And when you get to that place, when alcoholics get to that place of step one, everything becomes possible. Without arriving at step one, no recovery is possible. So that moment of truth opens the addict up to a power greater than herself. And that is the reason that recovery becomes possible. Well, in today's gospel text, the prodigal has a moment like that. You know, we're all, well, I don't know if we all are. I assume that many of us are pretty familiar with the prodigal son story. The younger son insults his father by demanding his share of the father's will before the father even dies. And then he goes and he blows all the money on partying and hookers. And after a while, the money runs out and he begins to be in want and in fact, the whole country goes into famine. And so the son finds himself hiring himself out to the nearest farmer where he ends up feeding the pigs. And his moment of truth is when he is looking at the pig slop, longing to eat it. And he realizes he is completely crazy, that the way that he has been following is leading him directly to his own death. And so the text says he comes to himself. He wakes up. He realizes that this way that he's been living is going to be the death of him. And it's precisely his hunger that helps him realize he needs to change. And he realizes it would actually be better to be in total disgrace in his father's house. At least there he would have something to eat, and he would no longer be utterly starving and isolated. So he goes home. And once he gets there, he is embraced with a love that is far beyond anything he could possibly have imagined. So the prodigal, like the alcoholic, has a moment of truth that makes everything else possible. It is a moment of honesty that in the end leads him back to community with his father and his family, and that is an occasion for wild rejoicing and celebrating. And I hope you notice that when he gets back, they don't make him, you know, go back to school and brush up on his resume. They don't even make him shower up and get a good shave before they have a party. They welcome him exactly as he is, starving and stinking and thin. because his very presence is a gift and a blessing to them. Well, like perhaps many of you, I grew up in the Christian church in a different tradition from this one, and I have heard this story approximately 400 billion times. And when I was growing up in a different version of Christianity, we interpreted this story in a very particular way. The story of the prodigal was about how God saved lost people. And lost people, in the tradition I grew up with, were by definition not us. They were the people out of our building who believed the wrong things. And so that was our caricature of the prodigal story. Now that I'm older and I don't think in such two-dimensional ways, I still think there are lots of ways to caricature this story that take away its ferocious power. It's easy to think of the prodigal as that epic fail, like the alcoholic living under the bridge who doesn't think they have a problem. Or, you know, your neighbor's kid who just messed up terribly. It's easy to caricature the prodigal as the homeless kid in Loring Park that all of our outreach ministries are designed to reach out to. Now, some of us in this building have prodigal stories. I do. But I would say it's likely that more of us don't have epic fail stories. More of us are probably more likely to identify with the older son. We're likely to identify more with the one who is resentful that we don't get all the praise and accolades that this prodigal gets when he makes one good choice, when the rest of us have been trying to make good choices for our whole lives. But today is the middle of Lent, and Lent is a time for deep introspection and honesty about the way we actually are, about our actual lives. And even though we all have a lot to learn from the older son and from the father and from every other character in the story, today I want to invite us all to identify not with everybody else, but with the prodigal. I would say the prodigal is not meant to represent the margins of human society. The prodigal is meant to represent the essence of the human condition, which is the experience of desperately needing the chance to start over and knowing we're not going to be able to make that happen on our own. The human condition involves being hungry for things that we keep trying to satisfy in the wrong way. Henry Nouwen said that the prodigal experienced his utter lostness, his utter isolation, and the deepest loneliness a person can experience. And it was this complete lostness that brought him to his senses. He was shocked into the awareness of his utter alienation, and he suddenly understood he had embarked on the road to death. And exactly in that place, he remembered he was not a pig worthy only to eat the slops. He was his father's son. Well, so right now, wherever you are, I would invite you to shake free of whatever you did this week and shake free of whatever you're planning to do for the rest of the day. Today, just for this moment, I want to invite you to survey your own life and the lives of those close to you and allow the story of the prodigal to sink in. Where do you need a new beginning? Where are you hungry? When we are higher functioning than the alcoholic under the bridge or the prodigal longing for pig slops, we get tempted to just motor through the difficult situations in our lives and try to do everything by ourselves. And we do this at every level of our existence, don't we? We do it in our family relationships, and we do it at work, and we do it on the council, and we do it in committees at church, and we do it everywhere. In fact, I would say the great temptation of a place like this, this gorgeous cathedral full of really gifted, impressive people, is that we will fail to recognize ourselves as prodigal. What the alcoholic knows, what the prodigal knows, and what each of us needs to know is that if we can, in our moments of hunger and needing for a new beginning, if we can in those moments open ourselves to the love and power of God and let go of our own control, we can be caught up into the current of God's Spirit in a way that is far beyond anything we could contrive, even with our own formidable gifts and resources and intentions. And the way we open ourselves to the power of the living God is not by white-knuckling ourselves into creating more beautiful programs or projects. Instead, it's about stopping and becoming willing to see and name where we are hungry. What are you hungry for? Where do you need a new beginning? This Lent, we've been talking a lot about social justice and especially about racial reconciliation, as well we should, because this is an extremely important conversation. We need to have this conversation because reconciliation with God and ourselves and other people is the very heartbeat of following the way of Jesus. Reconciliation is actually what the prodigal experiences when he returns home and after his pathetic speech about no longer being worthy to be called his father's son, he gets swept up into his father's embrace and put in the best robe, starving and stinking and thin and just as he is. What we need to acknowledge in order to do the long, hard, costly work of reconciliation with our neighbors, including the African American and Native American neighbors who white people have wronged so desperately and for so long, is to acknowledge ourselves as prodigal, to stop trying to fix everything ourselves, and to allow ourselves to be caught up into the embrace of God exactly as we are. In face of the great wrongs of history, we are in need of a new beginning. We need God to do what the text in 2 Corinthians says that God does. We need the old to pass away. We need God to make everything, including our very being, new. Well, when I returned to church 7 years ago after a 2-decade absence, I was just looking for a Protestant church where I thought I could take the Eucharist. And I didn't know why I was looking for that. I just kind of had this nameless instinct that I wanted the comfort of the Lord's table. I think I was like the prodigal son whose best plan was to just return to his father's house in disgrace so that he could have something to eat. What I didn't know, what I do know now, is that the Eucharist is precisely the Father's fierce, wild celebration that the prodigal returned home. This feast that we celebrate together every week is exactly God's wildly ecstatic party that you are here, exactly as you are, in exactly the condition that you are, with all of your hungers and your need for a new beginning. This feast we're about to celebrate is God putting the best robe on each of us and calling us beloved. Let us let go of control and be reconciled to God. Let us allow God to make a new beginning out of us so that we can embark on a journey together. Let us allow God to use us for the long, slow work of reconciliation with our neighbors until all creation experiences God's great shalom. Amen.